seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and the 45th verse. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. These words dropped from the lips of dear Elizabeth. The Lord had wonderfully favoured this dear woman in her latter days. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord is pleased to bless us in our youth. But there are many of the Lord's dear people that are especially favoured in their latter days. The Lord's a sovereign, you see. And it is wonderfully evident in the case of dear Elizabeth that had walked through many, many years of trial, of darkness, of barrenness. But now, in the latter stages, as it were, of her life, the Lord was to wonderfully favour and to give her a blessing and token that she no doubt had longed for many years. We read, didn't we, those wonderful words, and there's so many sweet records of it in God's word. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. There are many things that no doubt Elizabeth and Zacharias had that looked in their lifetime impossible. But it wasn't impossible with their God, was it? And here he wonderfully manifests that which was impossible with men was possible with God. And so this was to be not only a favoured time to Elizabeth, but too, it was to be a much favoured time for the Church of God. Because from the fruit of her womb was to come forth John the Baptist, that glorious forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And why she spake like she did was because, as we read, when she heard the words of Mary that the angel had told her that she would bring forth the Son of God, the babe leapt in her womb. You see, this was the Saviour himself that was to be born. And John, though he lay in the womb, his Saviour too. And dear Elizabeth and Zacharias, and what about you and me? Is he our Saviour, our Redeemer? And this was the gracious effect it had in the womb of Elizabeth, and too in her heart, because she was just filled with the Holy Ghost. We read, didn't we? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And our text is part of what she said. Now I want us help just briefly to look a little at this word. It seemed to drop in very sweetly after the text we had this morning, and really there's a wonderful connection with it, because that word we had before us, there were those things that concerned Jacob, concerned Isaac, and here there was great concern in the heart of dear Elizabeth and of Mary. And the word is this: and blessed is she that believes. There are two precious vital things in this. The first is, in the sight of the Lord, this dear woman was a blessed character. She was one that the Lord was to especially favour and to be filled with the blessing of the Lord. And secondly, she was blessed with living faith. And living faith in her, believed what the angel of God had told her, both in Elizabeth and too in Mary, because this word was spoken by Elizabeth concerning Mary. Blessed is she that believed. These were true believers. We hear much said today in this solemn day in which we live of the great need of believing. And many, of course, advocate it that man has power to believe and all they got to do is do that. But you know, man in himself by nature, and these two dear women could never believe without the Lord giving them living faith. Because without faith, the apostle said, we cannot please God. And oh, the faith that was given by the Lord to dear Mary to believe what Angel Gabriel told her, that she should bring forth the precious Son of God. And then look at the faith in given into Elizabeth. She truly believed what the angel had told her. And they could believe because all their trust and hope was in the Lord. And they could believe too because there was life in their souls, living faith in gracious exercise. Now, it's a wonderful thing when you and I are given a word from heaven like they were, and to believe the Lord will fulfill it and perform it. And not only that, but faith in these two dear souls embrace what the Lord said. You know, if you're really in need of a word from the Lord, to use a simple illustration, and you go up to the house of God, and the Lord grants you your request, and he speaks a word into your poor heart, what will faith do? It'll embrace what the Lord says. Oh, it will. He lays hold of it, you see. There's a very searching word in John's Gospel, chapter 10, where Jesus speaks of those thieves and robbers. You know, it's so easy with a natural religion to lay hold of this text or that text and apply it to ourselves. And you know, if that's not given by the Lord, we're stealing it. We're thieves and robbers. But with these two dear souls, and may it be so with us, not only will faith lay hold of it, but it embraces it and it keeps it. We read, don't we, of those that kept the word. Why? Because the Lord had given it to them. And here the Lord had given them these precious babes in their wombs. He'd given them the words from heaven concerning those they carried. And faith believed it. And so the Holy Spirit has recorded what Elizabeth said, and blessed is she that believed. Blessed characters. May we be blessed like they were. They were blessed with God's grace. They were blessed with his fear. They were blessed with his love. They were blessed with his mercy. They were blessed with his compassion. They were favoured above many. But then, there's a sweet word that follows it. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Well, there was a few things here I just want to hint at. The first is this. These things were told her by the Lord. No man had told her this. Dear Mary, that she should bring forth the precious Son of God, he that in all her hope was centred in, all her hope was in a precious Jesus. Where's yours and where's mine this afternoon? Can we say with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, that we might have all our hope centred where Mary and Elizabeth was, in the dear Lord Jesus. Those things which were told her, the Lord had told her. Can you look in your heart as we come this afternoon, are those things the Lord has told you? If he's told you, poor soul, he will bless you. If he's told you he's going to favour you, he will. He's not like man that says he will do this or do that and then doesn't fulfil what he has said. The Lord will ever fulfil what he has said. But the point that's so much with me regarding this, that which he's told us. You think, going back to what we looked at this morning, of dear old Jacob, you think of what the Lord told him as he there was at Bethel, laying before the Lord with the hosts of Esau's army coming against him. And the Lord told him that beautiful word, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. It was what the Lord had told him. Now, you think in your heart, have you got a few things the Lord has told you? Has he told you? Well, let me come low before I look at it. Has he put in your poor heart, Lord, do tell me that I am thine. Do tell me I'm one of thy children. It's like Abraham's servant when he went to the house of Laban and Bethuel. He asked them to tell him. He got those things he wanted the Lord to fulfill, and the Lord was to do it. And think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. What does she say? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. She needed to be told, you see, by the Lord. What does the hymn writer say? Till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. Lord, do tell me. Now there's the desire, you see, which is God-given. We long to be told. Oh, we think that many times in our poor life we long for the Lord to tell us that he is with us. We long for him to tell us that we're in that narrow way. We long for the Lord to tell us that all our sins are forgiven, that he has blotted out all our transgressions. You see, he told dear Mary these things, the things that he had told her. Now, have we got anything that he's told us? Think of that beautiful word. I quoted it just recently in Isaiah, that very sacred word in that 43rd chapter and the commencing of it. And may the Lord tell us this afternoon. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why? Listen. For I have redeemed thee. You know, you'd be the happiest soul in Zor Chapel and throughout England, wouldn't you, if the Lord told you that? I may have told you before, but dear Mr. Woodcraft, the old servant of God, you know, the Lord spoke those words to him. He was in a little cottage that he was lived in Morden, in Bedfordshire, and he said, you know, the Lord came in that little cottage, he said, and he spoke those very words right into my heart, audibly from heaven. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And the dear man, you know, he looked out of the window as the Lord spoke it, and he saw his brother walking by the window. And he said, Lord, give him the same blessing. And the day came, you know, some years later, when his brother was in much affliction, and the Lord breathed the same words into his soul. I have redeemed thee, the Lord told him. Now you see, there's safety in such a word as this. Oh, there is. Have you got some word the Lord has told you that you faith embraces, it clings hold to, it's your hope, it's your stay? And you can rest on it. You know, there are those words that we can rest on. They're a good foundation to the sinner, to the child of God. Because the Lord has told them. And remember, what he tells his dear children, I was going to say, they'll never forget. they won't forget them in this sense because they're written in their hearts and nothing can ever remove it. It won't matter how much Satan may roar, how much he will tempt the child of God, he can never take that away. It's as firm as the everlasting hills. It stands sure. Our memories may fail. We may get very forgetful. But you know, that word in the heart will be a wonderful seal, which nothing will ever take it away. Because the Lord has told us. It stands, you see. And you think how those wonderful promises that the Lord gave to those dear souls throughout the Old Testament, those wonderful promises stood, and they stood them in good stead when they came to die. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Notice the wording, they were from the Lord. They weren't from just his angel, they were from the Lord. The angel was the messenger. The message came from heaven. But there's another important point I want to just look at as help briefly, and it's this. The performance of those things that were told. You see, the Lord that had given her that word, spoken it to her, was to perform it. If the Lord's in the beginning, the old preachers used to say, the Lord will be in the end. That which he has begun, the apostle said to the Philippians, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And you see, what the Lord has told you, he will perform. You may say, but you don't know what I mean. You don't know how impossible the situation is and the things we're walking through. But the Lord knows, poor soul. And he can bring you right through and perform everything that he said in a moment. Or it may be his sovereign will, the Lord unfolds it step by step, like we read in Isaiah, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And it's all for the performance. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But I want to look a little at the performing of things. It's so laid upon me. When the Lord gave me that text this morning, and immediately following it, this text dropped in, and really they are wonderfully dovetailed. Concerning this morning those things which are to come. And here there shall be a performance. Elizabeth didn't say, there may be, or perhaps it will be so, or it could be. The Holy Spirit was clear, and she was clear in it, when she said, for there shall be. There was no doubt in her heart about it. She believed it. And she was to see the fulfillment of it in her heart, in her own heart, Annie Mary. For there shall be. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply that to your poor heart. You think, and I want to name a few things that needed to be performed, but you think how the Lord alone can do it because he has all power. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Well, let's look at a few of the things we need the Lord to perform. We'll begin with his sweet promises. And as we are considering in this chapter the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus, because this is the whole theme of it all, you go back into the book of Genesis and look how the Lord wonderfully performed the promises concerning his coming. You know, right the way from Genesis, right the way through to the end of Malachi, there's those precious promises the Lord was to perform concerning the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord performed them all, every one of them. Beginning with that beautiful word and yet searching word in the book of Genesis, to the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head and he shall bruise his heel. And then think of that beautiful closing one in Malachi, when we find, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. But let us go to the wise men when they went to Herod. You know, when they told him they had seen the star, and they'd come to worship him, the dear Lord Jesus, what did Herod do? He immediately called the scribes and the lawyers and those together to where Christ should be born. And you know, he went to the Word of God, and every record of it was to be fulfilled. Oh yes, everything was to be fulfilled. It was all recorded there, exactly how Christ should be born. Now, let us bring it home in experience. Look in your heart, look in mine. Have we got any promise the Lord has given us, and has he fulfilled it? Has he performed it? Well, there's a wonderful illustration of this in the case of, well, we can name a few cases. We'll begin back in Genesis. You think of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. You see, the Lord had laid that charge upon him, and the Lord was to fulfill it. And you know how he prayed that Rebekah might come forth. And you look how the Lord performed it. I want to come to prayer in a moment, but you look how the Lord wonderfully performed it. And Rebekah came forth. And how she spoke the very words that he longed for her to speak. Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. There was the performance of it, you see. And when Abraham sent him forth, was there not the performance of what he'd gone for, that Rebekah might go back with him to be Isaac's wife? The Lord was to perform it. We hope to sing at the close, and it dropped in very sweetly, thinking of this word, the ever-performing God. And you look back in, those who are older can look back into the last war, and you think how wonderfully the Lord performed the deliverance from that German army. And how so many were brought back across the channel. And I remember in my early days some of the old ones speaking about how they came across, and it was like a mill pond. The sea between France and the British Isles. The Lord brought them back, you see. He performed the deliverance. Well, think of the promises, how the Lord performs them. And the case that was really upon one's mind was the case of the Apostle Paul when, in Acts 27, when they were shipwrecked. And before they were shipwrecked, what did the Lord do? He spoke to Paul. The Lord told him. We think of our text, it says there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. The Lord told him that they'd all get to shore. Not one would be lost. There would be a loss of all the goods in the ship. The wares all had to be cast overboard. But there would be none lost. And you look how they all got to shore. The word of the Lord told the apostle was fulfilled in every jot and tittle. Oh, it was. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. And think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The Lord told them that they should stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And who fulfilled it? The Lord did, by destroying Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea and taking the children of Israel on dry land. The Lord performed it. He can perform those things, poor soul, that are impossible with you. But let us go further. Think about your prayers. Do you ask him to perform the things you long for? Do you ask him, Lord, perform, if thou hast not already, thy grace in us, work in us, to will and to do of thy good pleasure? Do you ask him to perform pardon upon your poor heart? Remove all that sin that plagues you and troubles you? Because he's able to perform it. You look at the characters in the Word of God. The dear woman we read of recently in the 7th chapter of Luke. Of how she creeps to the feet of Jesus behind him and washes his feet with her tears and wipes them with the hairs of her head. And there's Simon condemning the Saviour because he was there sitting with a sinner. And he condemns the woman, Simon does. But look how the Lord performed pardon into her heart. Removed all the sin. Her sins were put away. The Lord performed it. And you think how he wonderfully performed it at Calvary. Let us ever go to Calvary. You think of the performance of that great salvation at Calvary. The dear Saviour, enduring all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare, laying down his precious life to fulfil the law, to put away the wrath of God, to endure the punishment due to his church, his bride. Oh, this performing God, the performing Saviour. There shall be a performance. I can't get away from this, a performance of those things. You know what those things are. Look in your own heart. Those things that really concern you, that burden you, that exercise you, long for the performance of them, don't you? Oh, I long to see the Lord perform his wondrous work throughout Zion in these dark and solemn days. I long to see for you, dear young people, the Lord perform and work for you and in you. He's able, you see. Think of that beautiful couplet of the hymn we sing sometimes. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. But then to those of you that may be exercised, you young ones, regarding maybe a husband, regarding a wife, may the Lord wonderfully perform those exercises, you see. Sometimes we need a lot of patience to wait for the Lord to perform. There shall be a performance. In His time, you see, in His way. You think of the promise regarding Isaac. We spoke much about Isaac this morning. But you go back to his dear parents, Abraham and Sarah. There shall be a performance. What did the Lord say to them? At the time appointed, I will appear unto thee, the Lord said to Abraham, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. There's no doubt Abraham said in his heart, he could laugh, and so did Sarah, because they looked at the impossibility. And it may be that those of you and the many critics of the truth that will laugh when we say the Lord will perform His blessed purposes. What are we saying? His purposes will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. The Lord performs it, you see. I was looking at the bulbs in the garden yesterday, and you know, I thought, you know, they planted there. We cannot make them grow. No man can. The Lord in His time performs that wonderful growth, doesn't He? And how they're growing up now, beginning to shoot forth, and a few buds appearing. The Lord performs it, you see. He's the ever-performing God. And the same thing in the exercise and concerns of His dear people. Sometimes things look dead, like those bulbs do, dormant in the winter time. And will they ever grow? But oh, the ever-performing God, what does He do? He causes them to spring forth, doesn't He? He performs the springtime to appear. Just as He gives the winter. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. But there's a case just briefly I want to name. And that is, you think of dear Peter on the housetop in Joppa. There he was, fell into that trance, and there was let down that great sheep from heaven with all manner of creeping things and fowls of the air. And the Lord said to him, arise and eat. But he said, I've not eaten anything common or unclean. And what did the Lord say? What God hath cleansed, call thou not common. And the Lord wonderfully was showing him that he got to go down to that Gentile house of Cornelius and preach to them the dear Lord Jesus. And oh, you look how the Lord spoke to him. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And oh, how he arose, and there they were. The Lord was to perform it, you see. And then as he preached down in Cornelius's house, and oh, may that be of comfort to those of you exercise concerning maybe the sacred ordinance of the Lord's house or exercise in other matters. There shall be a performance. When? In God's time. The Lord's time. You've got to wait, you see. Be patient and steady and wait on Him still. His time, the performance. It's with God. And you look how in Cornelius' house. What did the apostle say? Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? Oh, the performing God was to work, you see. Nothing was impossible with him. And what a day it was for Cornelius and that household, wasn't it? Why? Because the Lord had performed, not only in Peter, his precious word, and enabled him to preach the gospel to them, but he performed the very exercise of Cornelius. Because how did Cornelius ask him to come? He was a venture of faith. To ask a man that had no dealings, as it were, with the Samaritans or with the Gentiles, to come and preach to them. But oh, how the Lord performed it. And may it be of sweet comfort to you this afternoon and to me, that the Lord was to do that which was impossible with men, to perform his purposes, perform his promises, to perform the answers of prayer, to perform the exercises of his people. If nothing this afternoon, may the Holy Spirit apply this text. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Notice where they came from. The Lord himself. He was in the beginning. He was in the end. And it was he that was to work. And you think of that glorious birth of the dear Redeemer. The Lord performed it. And nothing is too hard for him, child of God. You may have things in your heart this afternoon you long for him to perform. Let me say this, give him no rest until he does. We thought of Jacob this morning, didn't we? Where he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. The Lord was to perform it for Jacob, and he can perform it to you, for you. Amen.